Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. The guidelines for the reopening of Phase 1 businesses were released Friday, actually posted on Saturday. And remember when last week the governor was on the show, I asked him about dentist offices, and he said they would not be opening until Phase 3? And is that the same with dental offices, or are they part of the phase plan?
I can't figure out dental offices. You know, you're in really close contact. The one person is not wearing a mask.
Yeah, that sounds like your gut reaction is a four.
A three or a four.
Three or four.
Three or four.
Three or four. Which means later on.
Apparently, they're opening May 21st.
Well, it became one.
Yeah, to me, that would be phase one.
Yep.
We're getting a ton of emails from dental hygienists who are worried about going back to work.
They should be. That's scary stuff. I mean, you got the spit flying around, stuff like that, you know? You're constantly in someone's mouth. There's fluids in the mouth.
And listen, you could have all the N95 masks in the world, but that stuff's going to spray on the N95 mask. Then you got to touch the N95 mask. There's too much that has to happen for just a basic cleaning.
Yeah.
The steps, a cleaning that would take 20 minutes or whatever, is going to be triple or quadruple that with the process of cleaning, putting something on, taking it off, cleaning the instruments.
Yep. You're getting blood and spit all over you.
All of the chair.
Right.
Everything around
that
you.
That tray. Everything. Every single tool.
Everything.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, it's too soon.
Yeah, we're going to have some hygienists on. You know, and if you're a hygienist and you're listening when we do this segment, we'd love to have you call in and voice your opinion. The Connecticut Dental Hygienists Association is going to be holding a webinar to hear and address questions from their members today from 6:30 to 8:30. I feel like anything that's called a dental hygienist association should be saying, what the hell?
Exactly. Up in arms here.
That would be the group to say, what the hell? We're not letting our people do this.
There's no hygiene going
what
on
the
at all.
Hell?
Yeah. What the hell?
I found that shocking.
Yeah.
I found what the governor said to be right in line with what everyone was thinking. Like, what the hell?
He doesn't know what to do with it. So why now?
Well, he said he didn't know what to do. And this tells you that there's a group of people running things, and then he goes out and tells you what's happening. And they forgot to tell him that dental offices are phase one.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right. Which is fine. Whatever. There's a lot going on. He doesn't know everything.
Oh, yeah, no, him. Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
But
in
he's
general.
Not the guy in there making the rule, because if it were him making the rule, he's like a three or a four.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard that. I mean, he told us first.
He said,
I don't know what to do with them.
Exactly.
There's too much, and only one person's wearing a mask in close proximity.
Needs more time.
Listen, here's the tough argument with this one. Okay? You're going to make restaurants jump through all these hoops. You're going to make all of these businesses jump through all these hoops, like crazy hoops. Hair salons can't run the blow dryer. And no magazines and all this stuff. But you are going to have potentially a coronavirus patient with their mouth open and their saliva just flying everywhere.
Hitting
everybody.
Disaster.
Exactly, yeah.
So how does this happen?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, if I'm one of those businesses that can't open now, I'd be furious.
Right?
Because what happened? Did they make a donation? Like, how do you get that? How do you get to do that?
Somebody's influencing that decision.
Just like, if I'm a business that's closed, just tell me how they did it. I'll do it. You need a big check to a party, or what do you need?
Yeah, exactly. Right. How do you influence?
How did you come to that decision? The Economic Commissioner, David Lehman, referred workers to the American Dental Association toolkit as guidance for going back. Oh, boy, they have a toolkit.
Yeah, it's a lot of tools.
Toolkit.
Yep.
I don't know. If you're married to a hygienist, would you let him or her go to work?
Nope.
Not that it would be your choice. It would be their choice. But,
right.
But your opinion on the matter would be, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, nope. Hell no.
No, 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 no.
there's not enough Purell for AJ to bathe that person to ever get back into the house.
Right.
It's bananas.
It is.
I started getting texts from dentist friends last week.
Yep.
And my dentist friend said, oh, we're going back. I heard the governor, but we're going back.
Right.
Like, well, he knew more than the governor knew.
Apparently so. Yeah.
He knew he was going back. He heard the governor. He's like,
nope.
Nope. Wrong.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'm not going for a cleaning.
No.
Nope.
I brush harder now.
Yeah, brush harder.
I got an electric toothbrush.
Right.
And I'll go twice instead of once.
Yep, brush harder, longer, and
floss more.
Yep. I ain't walking in there. The den of death? No way.
The den of death.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
No, Jesus was not involved. Not their
Hopefully.
Fault.
Right. I just don't know how you say restaurants can only open if there's outside, and then we're going to give you a million other rules. However, these people over here can have a mouth open with spray everywhere.
Right. Business as usual. It's okay over here, though.
Right.
Yeah. Let your mouth, all your fluids fly.
Right.
Someone I know, they're working with a hygienist, and the spit actually hit them right in the eye. Ugh. That's how close you get. You get all over you.
Yeah, I would never work on someone's mouth without either a face shield, uh-huh. which even then I'd be worried that I would breathe in some
with a breather.
Particles in the air.
Yeah.
So I'd want a mask and a face shield. That's before coronavirus.
Yeah. Because that's just gross.
What about that, like, intubation box? Is that something that they can use in this situation?
What's that?
Possibly.
What?
Intubation box.
You know, like,
it goes that plexi box that your arms go through.
Yeah.
That Kevin Sympathy had been delivering, right? So it goes over the patient's head, and then your arms can still go through, and
that's,
you can...
Yeah, that's if you're laying in a bed, but yeah, maybe.
I don't have another option. I don't need a cleaning that bad.
If they adapted, yeah.
Like, I don't need a cleaning that bad.
Yep.
I'll wait.
Yeah, if my tooth hurts, I'm going to pull out my truck.
You're going to tie a string?
Oh, God.
Wait, but how's the truck going to move? Oh, you're going to be in the truck and then you'll tie it to like a post?
Somebody, yeah, whatever. I'll figure it out.
You're going to bleed all over your truck.
Also,
I'll drive your truck.
It's a black interior.
Oh, Ashley's the first one to sign up to yank a tooth out of your body.
Wow. All right, wait till I say go. Okay, go!
She didn't even take a second.
Really?
Yeah, I'll go open that truck. Yeah, I'll do it. It's fine.
Eric's got a big truck, too.
She dreams of making AJ bleed.
Damn.
Just trying to help out over here.
I noticed. Yeah.
Trying to help over here. Mm-hmm. All right, the new phases, or the new rules for phase one businesses have been announced. And across the board, there's a lot of similarities. Employers are responsible for providing personal protective equipment for their staff who are required to wear face coverings. The only exception is for office buildings where workers in segregated spaces are allowed to take off their masks. And I don't know, like, I read these words and I take it literally. So it says face covering. So is that just a mask or is that a plastic shield? I'm guessing just a mask.
Or cloth covering if it's not officially a mask, like a bandana or something.
All right, then. Everyone's going to be wearing something different.
I'm sorry, but could you have an appetite that has masks on and shields? And I just couldn't get the appetite. I'm sorry. I'll take mine to go for now.
Yeah, because with the restaurants, they're asking customers to wear a mask, but you could pull the mask down when you're eating.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the frig?
Exactly, yeah.
But wait, over here, I can have my mouth open and just spray stuff everywhere. Right,
freely. Spittle everywhere.
Freely, yes.
But over here, I'm wearing a mask that I could pull it down, take a bite, pull it up.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
But you're touching your face 24/7 if that's the case. Up, down.
You're also constantly touching the mask. Who's on the mask?
I do understand they're in a tough situation. Yeah. They need to reopen stuff.
Yeah.
People are still getting sick. We don't want to spike numbers. There's a lot going on, and I'm not in these meetings, and it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But, man, the dental thing just makes it like, all right, who knows who? Like, well, who's friends? Who's buddies?
Right.
This one doesn't make sense.
At all.
At all. Yeah, so office buildings, you'll be able to, like, if you have a cubicle, you'll be fine. Each set of guidelines lays out strategies to keep employees at a distance from one another. Restaurants, servers are to have discrete sections of tables with little or no overlap.
You're in Sector 7.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of do that now.
Yeah.
You know, this is your area.
Yeah,
that's
you work
your
in these
area.
Tables, yeah.
At zoos, attendants are to stick to one workstation in order to minimize movement. How many zoos do we have? Was there a problem like, hey, we need to get people back to work? Let's get the zoos going.
There's
really? All right, let's get all eight of them back to work.
Right. There's one we know of.
Really?
Right.
There's Beardsley Zoo.
Right.
Where is there another zoo in Connecticut? Does the aquariums fall under zoos?
I guess so.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't think they would.
Petting zoo, maybe?
And I got to tell you, you know, if people weren't already working at the zoos, there'd be a lot of escaped animals running around eating garbage and people.
Yep. In that order.
Maybe people first.
I don't know. Garbage's pretty tasty. People suck.
Speaking of being eaten by an animal, did you see which one? Ziegfeld and Roy? One of them died?
Yeah,
Roy.
Yeah.
He was the one that was attacked by the tiger.
Got chewed up by the tiger, yeah.
In 2003.
Yep.
That was the appetizer.
Well, imagine, like, if all the people you're going to eat, do you want to eat someone with, like, all those, like, diamond stud outfit?
All that
that's
makeup.
That's, like, the crunchiest.
Rhinestones.
All that makeup. Yeah.
That is the worst. Like, that tiger must have been like, oh, every time I poop, it hurts. Why did I have to eat him?
Yep. Had pancake makeup on his mouth.
Oh, yep. Jesus.
Tiger came home and was like, I brushed twice with my electric toothbrush.
I got something caught in my tooth, and it's a rhinestone. I gotta go to the dentist now. Oh, damn it. I'm gonna go to the dentist.
I'm crapping out rocks over here.
Right. Yeah, right. Down to the poops.
You see a little poop glimmering in the sun.
Right.
Tiger poop.
And it gets top billing.
Like, oh, I think I know who you eat.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, sad the guy was 75.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I say sad. I really was indifferent. Jennifer was like, oh, it's so sad. I'm like, it's not sad.
Guy had a good life.
I feel like those guys were old for a long time.
Yeah.
They
were just always old.
I said 75. I'm like, what? I thought he was 90.
I thought so, too.
Because he's lived like five lifetimes with everything he's done.
Well, he's had five facelifts, so, you know.
Right. There you go.
It's a lot of, tanning and wrinkling.
Here's a guy who, screwed with animals and made millions and millions of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah.
He gets attacked by an animal. I didn't feel bad for that.
No.
You signed up for it. This is why we're buying tickets. Do you think we're buying tickets to watch things go well? I don't know. Maybe some people are. I'm not.
The front row. The rest of us know.
The whole idea is that at any given moment, things could go wrong.
Right.
There's a danger element to
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, didn't work out for you. Out of the 8,000 times it did work out, that one time it doesn't, God damn it.
Exactly.
I want tickets to that show.
That hurt.
Right. You put your head in a tiger's mouth and someone pops a balloon.
Then they wouldn't even they wouldn't even release the footage.
No.
They really, like, somebody had a camera in there and they released that and it was grainy and all that.
But remember, he was like,
are you kidding me? We had to watch every single time he did it right and then this time we don't get to see it.
Remember he said, don't kill the tiger. Don't shoot the tiger.
Yeah.
Yep. He's very adamant about that. Of course, he was saying it's from inside the tiger's mouth.
Don't shoot it now.
Don't shoot the tiger. Because you might make him bite down harder.
People really love tigers.
Then the thing spits out a big diamond.
Right. Right.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 the Fox. The reopening guidelines for Phase 1 businesses were released over the weekend, and across the board, employers are responsible for providing personal protective equipment for their staff who are required to wear face coverings. The only exception is for office buildings where workers in segregated spaces like cubes are allowed to take off their masks. The rules also require customers to bring and wear their own face coverings. Each set of guidelines lays out strategies to keep employees at a distance from one another. At restaurants, servers are to have discrete sections of tables with little or no overlap. What else about restaurants? Let's bring in Joey C. here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Good morning today.
Morning, morning.
Joey C's Roadhouse, Joey C's Boathouse, Milford, Stratford. What do you think? What did you hear, and what do you think?
Well, we spoke to local officials, and yeah, it's going to be a challenge, but we have to meet the challenge. You know, they obviously, you know, face coverings is a you know, mandatory thing. The customers, obviously, when they get the tables, you know, they have to wear it in the restaurant until they sit at the table, and obviously,
well, wait, you can only be outside. So wait, so the employees have to wear the face masks.
The face mask, correct? Yeah, outside, obviously, outside seating only. You know, we'll have to wear the mask and gloves. And customers, when they come in, they have to wear the mask. Well, actually, when they go outside, obviously, I should say.
Right.
But,
they have to wear a mask until they eat. And then they could take it off, eat.
Take
and then
it
when
off,
they're done,
obviously.
They have to put it back on. So if they go from the table to the restroom, they have to be able to go inside the restroom, right?
Correct. Yeah, that was a question I asked, and they, you know, the local officials weren't quite ready yet for that answer. But yeah, they say that you have to wear that on, and obviously you have to clean the restrooms every time, you know, very periodically. Obviously,
wow.
People going in and out of it, so wow. That's going to be a
wait. Yeah. Every time or periodically?
They're saying periodically. I mean, you know, I don't know. They really, you know, they really got to set a really more definitive rules on that. I'm waiting really for the local. I mean, I'm in Stratford and Milford, so they're going to let me know. Have a meeting this week with them and really go over it in more detail. But that was a big question I asked them too with the bathrooms, obviously, because you know, that's something people need to use in a restaurant, and that's a little more, you know, contact, obviously, you know. But
you know, the interesting thing about guidelines is everyone's going to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Right? We're all asked to wear masks, and anywhere you go, you'll see some people doing that and some people not doing it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and they want us. Another thing, they want someone on the staff, if it's a manager or someone in charge, it's going to kind of like police, you know, the whole monitor of the restaurant. You're going to be like, okay, tell the employees to keep your mask on, or the guests and stuff like that. So that's going to be a tough job for someone.
The COVID,
you know,
police.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
so
there'll
be one person and their entire job is just to walk around and say, mask, please.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You, go clean the bathroom.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to have someone to do that, because otherwise someone has to focus on one job, because it's going to be, you know, a crucial job. Because God forbid someone, you know, nowadays everyone with the cell phones, or someone doesn't have a mask on. Oh, they went to the restaurant, someone has a mask on. You know, it's definitely, you don't want to be the guy that doesn't do follow the rules, otherwise you'll be the bad guy. So,
all right. Was there any restrictions of food that are like finger food items?
Like chicken wings?
Right. Perfect example.
I didn't see anything regarding to that. I mean, obviously, you know, I didn't really see anything to that extent that I know of. But obviously I'm going to meet with the local town people and see what they really say, if it's any fine print on them about that. But nonetheless, it's, you know, it's going to be a serious challenge. The restaurant business has taken a serious blow. I just urge everyone to help support your local business, mom and pop restaurant, because I have a lot of friends that have restaurants, and, you know, we're all hurting. We're trying to keep our chin up. And post service announcement here, you know, help everyone out. So otherwise, you know, your local favorite place is going to really have a bad turnout if we don't help each other. So
now, Joey, when you saw these new guidelines for phase one businesses and specifically for restaurants and outside dining, did you think it's not going to be worth it financially with all the stuff I have to go through? Or did you think, okay, fine?
Well, every restaurant's different. My the Boathouse, we have a huge deck, so as you know.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kind of did the whole 6 feet thing and all the things, and I could probably fit more people than any restaurant indoors.
Right.
So that's going to be a positive to me, but still, it's not the money I would make. You know, I'll have to see. The money I'm going to make, we'll see if it's worth me even being open, you know, too, because obviously I'm still going to have a lot less income. My other restaurant, you know, I still want to keep on doing takeout, because I don't have an outside area. But every restaurant's going to have a, if you don't have an outside area, it's not, or a small outside area, it's not worth it because it's, the risk reward, it will be difficult, but God forbid, you know, something happens and you'll have an issue. So I'm sure a lot of places can just keep on doing takeout if you're on the big patio. And then also you have to worry about the weather too. Like say you schedule staff members, I have to schedule 4 or 5 people, and also it calls for rain, and I have to send them home. You know, so now it's like you have to, it's outside. We're in, obviously in Connecticut, and if it's cold or rainy, then you can't even be open outside.
If you, you know, put a giant tent, and I know you'd have issues being near the water with the wind, but if you were able to pull it off, is that still considered outside?
You know, that's a good question. That's something I didn't really think of. That's a real fair question. I'll have to ask the powers that be about that. I do have a little outside overhang, but not, you know,
not enough to,
not enough to do that. But that's a good question. I'm sure if the sides are open, I'm sure. I don't know. That's a gray area.
One of the things I thought of, and especially for your business, was all the condiments have to be in single serve packets.
Like
how much barbecue sauce, you know, you're going to be sitting there opening a million packets.
Right.
Now your fingers are touching the packets. Wouldn't it be easier to have the jars and then you just, every time a table leaves, you wipe everything down.
Wipe the jar down,
right.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the same with the silverware and stuff like that, and paper menus. That's another thing, paper menus. And, I mean, it's going to cost so much more. And, obviously, you know, for those green people, you know, you're throwing stuff in the garbage. All.
Just the green people.
Right. Somebody's going to be mad here somewhere.
I meant the green family.
The green people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I was going to be upsetting someone, you know, but it's like, you know, we're going to be spending a lot more money to make a lot less money. So I get back to your question, you know, it's going to be worth it. You know, we have to do the math after a few weeks and see, okay, you're going through all those paper goods, all this paper menus, printing out, you know, the ink to print out menus and printing, you know, it's like, how many customers are going to come? I think, you know, obviously the boathouse, which I'm on the water there, people love to go to the water, obviously. So I'll have a little advantage, which is good. And I said, well, I could probably, I'm guessing, I'm not officially sure, but I could probably fit 80 to 100 people out there. So that's what I'm
hoping
for.
That's with the 6 feet table thing.
Yeah, correct.
Wow, that's pretty
good. So most restaurants don't even have 100 people inside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my guesstimation. So I'm hoping that, you know, we could fit that many people out there. That's where the space is humongous, so.
AJ was confused. What, AJ?
What if people were to, like, say you had it online, your menu online, and folks just look at the menu online and tell you what you want?
Yeah, so the state, if you read the guidelines, the state's encouraging you to do that.
Right, just wait
on the customers can read it in the phone.
Exactly, right, so you have to print your paper out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, maybe get tablets for the tables, you know, but then have to wipe the tablets down every time. They want you to get, like, It's a hard, you know, like I said, they want someone, basically a busboy. His job would be really challenging because he has to basically have like a bleach bucket or some kind of sanitation solution when in that area. And also they want to have, you know, when you walk in, like Purell type stuff where you sanitize your hands.
Like
and
the
stuff
supermarket,
like that
makes sense.
Like the cruise ships.
And it's easy enough to do.
Washy-washy.
So I literally bought, I had a source, an underground source. We got Purell. You know, I bought like 2 cases of
an
Purell.
An underground source.
It's a guy named Bean. He's dangerous. Fell in a truck.
No, it's weird. I had, you know, a member of the tribe bring toilet paper, and we didn't want to say hello or anything. It felt like a drug deal.
Right.
All right.
Like
just toss it in a meet in the back of the parking lot. Right. Just toss it in the back seat.
Flashlight. See, my man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, you know, you get your, you know, you have like, you know, your salesman of your purveyors, and I have like 4 or 5 distributors I deal with, and you see which one has what, and you kind of like, you know, hey, when the Purell shipment comes in, let me know. It's like, you know, you feel like, you know, you're trying to beat everyone else out on the, you know, if you're good in with your salesman, they give you the Purell, like a 2 case, you know, or like the hand, you know, get one white.
It used to,
you know,
be, give me the best steak.
Yep.
You have on the truck. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm worried about Purell, toilet paper, and towels, you know, it's crazy. A mask. I got to buy 2 little boxes of masks, like, you know, $100 for a paper mask. I was like, oh my God, I'm saying $100 on paper mask.
Joey C. from Joey C.'s Boathouse and Roadhouse on the show talking about outside dining phase one starting May 20th. Kind of lost my train of thought here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was going somewhere. Yeah.
Joey's?
No.
I am thinking about the food.
Well, yes. we definitely aren't.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I remember. One of the things you'll have to do is ask your employees every day if they have any signs of COVID, right?
Mm.
Now, are you...
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Also, it's just another, crazy thing. One of the sanitarians at the local office told me they might have to have temperature, they have a laser gun. They kind of, hit them in the forehead. They may check their temperature when they come to work.
The temporal scanners,
temperature scanner. So I was like, I pretty much have one of those. I use those for, food control, obviously, walking and stuff like that, temperature control. So, that's going to be kind of funny. I mean, people walking to work and hit them with a little laser beam and get the temperature. Hey. You go, you stay.
It could be worse. It could be a meat thermometer. Here, put this in some place.
Yeah. The old-fashioned meet the moms.
Bend over.
Do you mind sitting on this for a moment?
Now, do you have to do that with customers?
Not the Kenny thermometer. Not the Kenny thermometer. Please, that's a little bigger. So, anyway.
Do you have to check customers or just employees?
No, they mentioned employees to me. Customers, I didn't know about. I didn't get that yet. But, I would definitely, even if it's not a strict rule, I'm going to do it anyway, for my employees, actually, they can be with each other. And I told all my staff, from the get-go, like the Roadhouse, we didn't close on one day at all. We kind of didn't stop. I told my staff, we all are relying on each other. I said, if you guys screw up, I lose my livelihood. You lose your job. I was really stressful. Sat down with all my staff, and I walked into the team meeting. Boathouse was just reopened last week, and it's one of those things where everyone has to trust each other outside of work because we're like a family. Dressings are very team oriented and family oriented. And I said, listen, you guys have to go home. You come to work. You have to go home, come to work, and wear your mask because if one of you guys gets sick, the whole house of cards falls out. And it's the hardest thing to trust everyone that they do the right thing because Chaz, I've been 11 years almost, and I started the business from the ground up, and I worked hard to get this where I am at, to have two restaurants, and I'm lucky right now. It's kind of cards have turned. I'm back to takeout restaurant I was 11 years ago, and all my staff have to really have that faith. And I have a lot of young kids, and you can't go out and,
But you make a good point here. So is that part of the guidelines that if one staff member gets ill, that whole restaurant's done? Everyone is in quarantine?
They could be, and they have to, every town, they have to evaluate that situation. If they find out that one staff member gets sick, then they're going to have to close it down and evaluate the situation, see who was in contact with that person. It could be a whole investigation. Yes. Kind of like if someone got like salmonella or any kind of food poisoning. Any restaurants have a standard where, if a customer gets sick, they have to come in and be like, okay, if there's some salmonella or E. coli, or someone has a bad oyster. If someone has a bad oyster and then they come in the restaurant and say, okay, you got a bad oyster, let's go with the tax and see what's going on. Difference with that.
That's nuts. And it's a lot of money to invest. And then one little card, like you said, could just go bloop. And the whole thing is gone.
Everything goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
You definitely have an advantage in Stratford at the Boathouse, that outdoor thing. Yeah. People really want to go out and eat, and you're outside.
The boat's coming by. I'm one of my maintenance guys. We set up the whole outside last week, and we cleaned it all up. So we're excited to open, honestly. And my staff members are excited too. And we want to be outside and be with each other. And there's definitely been a social deficiency out there. So we're just going to make sure we do our best. And we're going to put some guidelines down.
That's all you can do.
Yep.
That's all you can do. We're meeting with the fire marshal too. They have a say in that also. Make sure I'm safe. And we're looking forward to it. And hopefully everyone abides by everything. And I want to tell everyone, just support your local restaurants. And we need your help.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joey, thanks for coming on, brother.
We appreciate it. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you guys, too, for helping us out. Thank you very much.
Keep us posted on your progress.
Yeah, please.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Yeah.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Restaurant opens despite stay-at-home orders. happened in Colorado.
Yeah.
Restaurant opened for Mother's Day and ignored the stay-at-home orders. The owner said they had, quote, twice as many customers as normal.
Damn!
Oh, boy.
Yep.
And posted a video of the packed place.
Hi, guys. Just thought I'd do a live video to check in because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, like, what the turnout ended up being. This and then a line down the street. So much for some of those people saying nobody would show up. And our patio is full, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for the support, guys. I got to get back to work.
Yes.
Wow.
So when the second wave breaks out in Colorado, we know what happened.
I wonder, well, you can't really prove if you got it there. You can't prove where you got it.
Right, yeah.
But, man, if there's a giant outbreak of people, by people who went there that day, that could be bad for that restaurant.
Yep.
But that does speak to people aren't going to be nervous, right?
People are ready.
Yep. They're ready to go. Wow, Mother's Day.
Yep.
And so who are you bringing? Your mom.
Exactly right.
She's usually, depending on how old you are, she could be in that age group.
Or she just had
vulnerable.
Period,
yeah.
Right. Here, Mom, you want to sign this will before we go on?
But that car one.
Before we get out of the car.
Yeah, can you write this on a napkin?
Yeah, I need you to co-sign a loan for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can ask Senator Blumenthal, 1-877-764-2535. Senator, lots of folks on the phone with questions, so we're going to ask you to keep it short if you can.
I'll do my best.
Julie, I like how he doesn't make a promise.
I'll try.
Yes.
I'll give it a shot.
It's like, you know me.
Let me see your fingers and I crossed, are they? Just kidding.
Maybe not.
Julie in West Haven, what's your question for the senator?
My question is, I was wondering what the plan is for the essential workers that have been going in, putting their lives at risk, their families at risk, to make essentially what they're making regular pay. There's not been anything proposed. We've seen a lot of information that they're talking about that,
so you're
but I'd like to know
about
what the plan
hazard
is.
Hazard pay.
Hazard pay.
Gotcha. Right.
Yep.
What a great question, Julie. It so happens.
Thank you.
I have made a proposal. I've proposed a Heroes Fund for essential workers. Mm-hmm. $13 premium pay per hour, retroactive to January 27th. That's when the National Declaration of Emergency was made, and up to $25,000 for all essential workers, those who are working in manufacturing, of course, the healthcare providers in our hospitals and clinics, police, fire, first responders, literally across the board. And I believe that Heroes Fund is a very appropriate way to reward people and recognize their heroism, but also to retain them and also to recruit new workers. So
all
that's
right,
my proposal.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Tim in North Haven.
Hey, good morning. I've got Rich Blumenthal on the phone, big time.
All right.
So, Rich, this is my question to you.
Rich, I love this. it's Senator
it's
Blumenthal.
Interesting.
Senator, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
So now, people that are laid off right now, they're getting $400 or $500 a week, and they're going to get $600 a week with the stimulus. What the heck is the sense of going back to work? If I was an employee,
I get you.
I mean, it's stupid. And then who's going to pay all this money back? We are going to pay all this money back.
Okay.
We're giving too much money away.
Let me answer your question very directly.
No, he makes a great point, and I've talked to a lot of businesses that say, we got the PPP, and we asked our workers to come back, and they don't want to come back because they're making more through unemployment.
Yeah.
So that was a good point. Then the other point is, how are we going to pay for all this? So, two questions.
Both good points.
Yeah.
Number one, an employee who refused to take an offer, come back to work, all the employer has to do is call the Department of Labor, and that employee is automatically off unemployment insurance.
Oops.
It's that simple.
Okay.
It's against the law.
All right, so that's one.
Number two, how are we going to pay for it? The trust fund, in effect, takes a loan from the federal government, and then the employer, over a period of time, is liable for a tax that's paid back to the state, which then pays back the federal government. Now, your point is going to be, Isn't that a burden on the employer? Yes, it is, but it's the kind of tax that is paid every month, every week through unemployment. It's the regular tax that is imposed, and we've been through this in other recessions. But let me come back to the first point. You know, I really believe people want to work. At some point, they want to come back and do their jobs. They like being at the workplace. They don't want to spend 24 hours a day cooped up at home. And
that's true for most people,
sound naive.
Senator, but there are others that not everyone.
And for them, they're exactly. And for them, all the employer has to do is say, I offered this guy his job back. He didn't take it. The unemployment insurance ends.
All right, let's take
done and done.
Scott in Southington. Hey, Scott.
Senator.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Senator. My wife, my sister, and I had a trip booked in July.
Do you have a fishbowl on your head?
Let's wing a mask.
Ah. What?
That is the worst phone. So what is your question? It's about a trip to Germany and whether you should...
July.
Yeah, it's been canceled. We were going to go see the play in Oberammergau, and it's been canceled. And the tour group that we are going with is keeping $1,150 per person. They're not refunding it.
Wow, that's
rebutting. Saying we can either go in July and not see the play, we can book a trip in the future, or they'll send all but $1,150 back per person. And I want to know, is that really legal for them to keep that kind of money?
I'd have to look at the contract to know all the details. But what I want you to do is give your phone number to Phil, and he'll get it to me, and we'll talk about it, see what we can do for you.
All right, hold on, Scott.
There you go, see? Yeah, come through the red tape
thing,
right there.
But, you know, those contracts are so long, no one really reads them, right?
No, you glaze out halfway through.
Senator, do you read them?
I haven't been on a tour.
No, but if you're going on a tour, like you're signing up for cable or something, right? And then there's this, you know, a 50,000 word disclaimer, and then at the end of it, you have to press agree. Do you read all those words?
I have to tell you, I can't say that I read every word of every contract for every service because, and here is the point that I think legally is important. If you don't sign that contract, you don't get the service.
Right.
And that's why these companies have such power, and that's why often they can be held liable in a class action to change their contracts because they have all the power. We as individuals, even if we objected to one of those lines in the contract, what is the service person going to say? Oh, well, we'll negotiate with you individually. It just doesn't work that way. That's why the monopoly or monopolistic type of power that a lot of these companies have simply drives the little guy, the customer, all of us, to sign these contracts without even reading the fine print. And so that's I want to see the contract that Scott signed because maybe even in that contract there's some authority he has.
Can you imagine the senator's wife asking a senator, Richard, can you get us on that cable plan? And then it's like 3 months later, well, right, I'm still reading the contract, and I don't like paragraph 5 of page 6.
I got an amendment to this part right here.
Yeah, well, here's the revised contract.
We had a hearing in Congress just this week with the airlines.
Oh, boy, I got to go. And, I'm sorry.
You know, what the airlines have been doing is offering people vouchers, not refunds, even though they have promised to provide refunds. So we want them to give them cash, not just credit.
Good.
Because people need the cash, right?
Yeah.
To pay for groceries and so forth. If they're not going on a trip for health reasons, they deserve that cash.
Senator Blumenthal, thank you. Sorry I had to cut you short. We've got to hit a commercial break here. Appreciate you coming on.
Wonderful to be with you as always. And we'll talk about the pets next time.
Okay.
Perfect.
Jazz and AJ News.
So, what's it like helping to deliver a baby over a police radio?
A baby.
Let's talk to Lori Linares, Connecticut State Police dispatcher. Nice job.
Thank you.
Take four.
So bring us through it.
Well, I took a 911 call from Grandma, who was a little bit frantic. She was driving 91 South, and she was coming through Windsor into Hartford, and I could tell, you know, she didn't know what to do, and I was trying to convince her to pull over.
So she's driving, calls 911, right. Says, I'm on the way to the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
She was going to St. Francis.
Okay.
And her daughter was trying to convince her to keep going. She wanted to deliver at the hospital.
Right.
And Grandma wanted to pull over.
So Grandma's going south. The kid's going south also.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All right, let's play some of the audio from this call.
Coming up,
oh my God, the 33. I gotta pull over.
Southbound 33.
He's coming out. I gotta pull over.
All right.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Oh, is that God. A baby crying?
Already?
Is that a baby crying or is that the...
Not yet.
What is that sound? Oh, that's the mom.
That's the passenger.
Oh, it's the mom. I thought it was the kid. I thought the kid was here already.
Right, wow.
The kid's driving. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Do you have any blankets or towels in your vehicle?
No, I don't. I have a jacket. Don't close your legs. Oh, my God. Help me.
All right. Does she have the seat laid back?
Oh, my God. Laura, you are textbook calm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the seat laid back. Yes.
Have you done this before?
No. Well, none that have gone complete, you know, delivery.
Right. Wow.
Get the hot water.
Exactly.
So while you're talking, are you, you know, typing somewhere to get a police escort for them, or what are you doing?
Well, I had another dispatcher sitting to the right of me, and she was calling Hartford for the ambulance, and
gotcha.
The trooper to the left of me got the troopers going.
Like a tag team.
Okay, yeah. So that all that is going on while you're, you know, trying to be of help over the phone.
And good calm help, too.
Wow, you really are calm.
Wow.
Are you like that in all aspects of your life?
Don't play poker with her, I know that.
I try.
I try. Oh, you must be married.
Yeah, hot potato with, hot potato with her, no big deal.
You have kids of your own, do you?
Limbo, forget about it. She's good.
They're older.
Exactly, right. They're used to it by now.
All right, let's hear some more of this.
Yes, no.
All right, have her lay the seat back and tell her to push back further on the seat so that the baby will be on the baby will come out on the seat, not on the floor. We don't want her to drop the baby on the floor.
That's a good tip.
That's a good one.
Exactly. The kid's got French fries and gum on it. Yeah, no.
I didn't want the baby to come out on the floor.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, is there a rule book for this? Is there a call book? Do you flip to that page and say, all right, here are the instructions. Let me read through them.
There is a flip chart we're supposed to go by, but I wasn't going by it at that point.
You're just going by your gut. And,
yeah.
You know, you've done it before.
So a car will see the killer roll right back in again.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so roll the seat back. This is good in case, you know, you're ever driving a car and someone has a baby.
It's like a Van Halen.
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
He's a seat back. She's blind and I'm driving. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the seat back.
Right.
Push yourself up.
Panama.
The baby
yeah.
has a place to go.
Exactly.
I like how the grandma said, don't close your legs.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I would think that the instinct would be to not because you just can't. It's got to be like.
I think she was trying to keep it up there. Like, wait. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
That was
like, don't saying, come yet.
That was great saying, wait for it.
Is that what's happening?
Daughter's like, point, the head was coming out.
Oh.
It's like, get back in there.
Right. When the kid says, shut up, just drive, Granny.
Box, like,
this kid's already not listening to me.
No, stay.
Oh, wow. That's such a scary sight, too. When something's coming out of there, it's like,
oh God.
Wow, this feels like the movie Alien.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, go ahead.
Anthony, can you can't push your seat back and lay back?
You're going to St. Francis?
Turn around and lay on your back, Anthony, please.
I like how the grandmother's going bananas.
Like a robot instructor.
And you're just this calm. So you're going to St. Francis?
Nice day, isn't it?
I edited some of this call. They had already determined that, but she just wants to make sure wherever the car is, the folks that are on their way to help her can find her.
I see they have codfish for lunch today.
She is so calm.
Yeah,
that's what you need. Yeah,
it's exactly what you need.
I'd avoid the Walmart today if I were you. It's kind of busy.
the person, you don't want a person who's getting excited while grandma's excited. Now she gets more excited than the mom gets more excited.
And grandma's driving, by the way, during all this.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you did ask her to pull over.
She did at one point. She pulled over southbound by 33. And so we got everybody started, but then she pulled away again on me.
Wow.
Oh, she was just, she was worried.
She freaked out.
She's watching what's happening. She's like, we can't deal with
this. We gotta go!
It sounded like she had pulled over on the highway and got uncomfortable being on the highway. So then she was like, I'm going to whatever the next exit is, and I'll pull over off the exit.
Gotcha.
Too much traffic.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Good for her. I mean, that's smart, right?
Right. Although if you get rear-ended, that kid will come right out. Boom.
They'll definitely plop on the floor.
If the baby's on the dashboard, now what do we do?
But it's on a cord, so that's good. It's not going to go too far.
Exactly, right. Like a tether ball.
It'll bounce back.
Right. Got it back.
It'll be like that paddle ball.
Right. You see the kid going. You see the kid going.
It'll shoot out, and then the airbag will knock it back in.
Exactly.
Yeah, catch it.
See? Everything's all taken care of. We're good here.
Wow, you should get one of those awards.
You should.
You're just doing your job here, but all right, let's play another clip.
So I fast-forwarded here. So they took off, they pulled off the exit, and now she's trying to help her through the last bit here.
I'm going to pull my power. I'm getting off the exit.
Did you stop on the off-ramp or right off the exit?
Your dad is coming. I'm going to see it, please.
Can I tell you another thing I love about Lori?
What's that?
Is we've played so many of these calls, and usually while this is happening, stupid questions are being asked.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like,
just let them handle this moment.
Right. She's just hanging back.
Yep.
I'm on the phone.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Yep.
But also, I know what's going on over there. And,
do you remember that scream reminded me? Do you remember young Frankenstein when he lit his thumb on fire? Also, it's a period.
Same thing.
Don't inhale until the tip glows. I just saw that scene in my head. I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
We'll have to take the two sounds and put them next
to combine the scream. I'm telling you, that's Peter Boyle right there.
Oh, my God. Can you play that again? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did you stop on the off-ramp or right off the exit?
Your dad is coming. I'm
Lori, that would have been funny if you said right there, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Can you say it again?
Can you repeat that?
I couldn't hear you over all that screaming. Now, did you pull off the...
Was that a wah for yes or wah for no?
Yeah.
Two wahs for yes.
One scream for yes, two screams for no.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Loosen the car now?
The baby's out.
Give him the phone.
Can you put him on?
Yeah, get the screaming woman away from me.
Are you calm?
Ears. Think about it. What a way for a baby to come into the world, you know, because you're inside of a stomach. So you hear things and feel vibrations.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going down this canal. You're like, what is going on? And then you're out and it's bright. And then loud.
Yep.
Like, wow. Can I go back in there, please?
Yeah, the kid's name
nice
is...
Nice and quiet.
The kid's name is Buick Seville now.
Is there any more?
Yeah.
Yeah? Jennifer talks at that tone about 2 in the morning after a bottle of wine.
What decibel is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, is the baby breathing?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yep, necessary.
Great question.
Well, she's a pro.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him crying or anything.
Right. Well, you couldn't hear anything. Mom was screaming.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was so much screaming.
Right. Could you shut up for a second? We need the
kid. Wow, great question. I know you're excited, but
need you to calm down
we still have things to do.
Right.
Jackie's crying. I'm glad he's crying.
Okay, he's crying. Gotta keep, okay, keep him warm. You gotta wrap him up, keep him warm.
I am.
Make sure the cord is away from his neck, nothing like that, right?
His umbilical cord is not around his neck.
Okay, good. Just keep it away from him.
Yes.
It's a boy?
Yes, it's a boy.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just keep checking on Mama and the baby.
Yes. Is he okay with me? He's not crying.
He's still breathing?
He's not crying. Come on, baby.
Is he breathing, though? Can you see him breathing?
Yes, he's breathing.
Just check inside his mouth. Make sure there's no mucus and stuff there.
That's what made him cry. I got that out.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, that sounds nice and good right there.
We knew the ending, and
yeah,
but that was kind of dramatic right there. The baby stopped crying. But you jumped right in.
See?
Wow, that could have been where the call got really bad.
It's a boy. He's hung like a bear. That's the cord. That's the cord.
Wow.
That's going to come off.
That's pretty incredible. Any more? Or we hit
we find out the name.
Oh, excellent.
What's she going to name him?
His name is James.
James?
I don't know. I heard Yames.
Yames?
I did, too.
Are they Swedish? Hey, name it James.
Yames.
Yumpin' a Yames is a here. He's a
Swedish chef popped out.
He's a burn in the Buick.
There's no way that name question is in the clickboard. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's a good one. Wow, yep. James.
See that? And you helped.
And Mom, and have you had a conversation with the grandma or anyone since then?
No.
No,
it would have been nice, but with all the COVID stuff going on and everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's cheerful.
No, but that would be a nice phone conversation. Right. We should try to get the grandma on. Like, none of that information has been released, right? The name or whatever, that's all private.
No,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Wow, what a great job you did.
And grandma was excited for doing 90 miles an hour on 91.
Thank you.
Man, you stayed so calm.
You did.
Thank you.
Wow. And even now, you're like, yep, whatever.
She seems very calm, yeah.
Really? Do you ever freak out about anything?
Nope. I've just been doing it too long.
Gotcha.
You know,
yeah.
Learn.
Well, we thank you for that. You know, being a dispatcher, you don't always hear calls come to a good end.
Right.
So good for you. This is a nice one.
A surprise party for her, but you total waste.
Yeah. I would invite Lori to the first birthday party.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Right. You have to.
Yeah, cake and everything, yeah.
That's right. And then play the call. Yeah.
Exactly.
Remember when?
Yeah.
Lori, I never want to give
childbirth. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for doing such a great job.
Yes.
That's really outstanding.
You're awesome.
I appreciate it.
All right,
for all the dispatchers out there who don't get, you know, the appreciation we deserve, yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't think about the dispatchers.
Seriously.
So
no dispatch, no cops.
That's right. All right, thank you, Lori. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Lori Linares. Wow.
That was some scream.
She's something else.
She's great.
That was some
She's delivering a baby.
Can you picture Peter Boyle with his thumb on fire?
Oh, my God.
Want to check in with Katie Coelho. We talked to her a few weeks back. Her husband, John, died of coronavirus, 32 years old. He spent the last month of his life in Danbury Hospital. And what made this a national story is after he died, she opened up his phone and found a message that he left to her and the kids. Hey, good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Good. I know that's a stupid question, but we told you 3 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago we would check back in with you.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to keep our promise.
No, I appreciate it very much. Very, very much.
How's the family doing?
We're doing all right. My kids are starting to, I think, pick up more and more that Jonathan isn't home. So it's been a little tricky that way. And I think it finally kind of hit me this past weekend.
Sure.
The fact that this is I feel like it's a really bad Lifetime movie, so it didn't feel real.
Yeah.
And I think I've kind of, it hit me this weekend that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was, yeah. My husband, Jonathan, always went above and beyond on Mother's Day. Like, even just the simplest little things, it was more important to us than birthdays or anything because we were so happy to be parents. So yesterday was really, really hard.
How old are the kids?
Brayden is 2.5, and Penelope will be a year old on June 2nd.
Oh, wow. Have you talked to a professional about how you explain this to them? Or
not yet. I sit down with the kids and we talk about Jonathan as we normally do. I make sure we watch videos every day, and I'm trying to keep, if there is normal anymore, as normal as possible for them. But I started my son back in his physical and speech therapies 5 days a week because I know I can hear Jonathan in my head saying, don't let Brayden slack off. So I've just been trying to keep as normal as possible and then kind of figure out how to, because I know down the road that's going to have, it's going to be a really tricky conversation to have. And I've talked to them about dad was really sick and he really tried to come home, but as they get older, I know it's going to have to be more of an explanation.
Yeah, more straightforward.
How many times have you read that message that he left you in the phone?
Too many.
Yeah.
I keep, again, because I think I've been sad about the situation, but I don't think I understood how real it was. So I was always reading it, trying to pick something out that, I don't know, would maybe think like, oh, no, he's actually okay. And I've even gone as like in my head, like, well, maybe I'm the one on the ventilator and this is my bad dream. And when I wake up, Jonathan's going to be home. And this is, it's just trying to rationalize it. So I just keep reading it over and over, but it's getting harder and harder because it's no longer, I look at this like, oh, my God, this was a love note. I look at it like, I mean, I'm so thankful for those words, but just going into where his head must have been at to write those just makes me really sad for him.
I read the text of it in one of the articles printed on it. It was unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's Jonathan. It's almost, he doesn't seem like he could have been real because that's just how he was and how, I mean, his best man found his wedding vows and sent them to me, and I haven't seen them since we were married. And just seeing the way that he just wrote down how much he loved me, and I knew it because he told me it and I felt it. But, yeah, you can just, I mean, as much as the attention I think would be a little surreal for him, I'm loving that everyone is seeing just what a magnificent human being he is and how much he loved us. He loved us so much.
There's a GoFundMe page for your family, and he was the main income, right, for you guys?
He was the only income. He was the only income. Yeah, my son is medically complex. He has cerebral palsy. And he's strictly G-tube fed. He's working on walking, but he's not mobile on his own yet. But he's a really determined kid, so I know we'll get there. But Brayden's unable to go to daycare or to go to a sitter. And we never wanted to have a nursing company. We wanted to do it. So I was the one that solely stayed home with Brayden and made sure, and Penelope being so young. So my husband was the only income.
All right. Well, we normally don't link up GoFundMe pages.
Yeah.
There's so many of them. This one, we're going to sites.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a worthy.
Yep.
If you've been blessed in all of this, here you go. Here's a way you can help. All right, Katie, we're going to keep checking in on you. And if there's anything you need, don't hesitate to call us.
No, thank you guys very, very much for checking in. I can't tell you how much it means a lot to me.
I think we've all been through loss, and we know that when it happens immediately, everyone's around, and then everyone kind of gets back to life. And it's not,
their fault. It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah.
But then you find yourself alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's everyone's going to go back to whatever the normal is after the pandemic. But my normal is my life's falling apart. So appreciate it a lot.
All right, Katie. Well, we're here for you. Seriously. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good.
No, I know. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you, guys.
All right. We will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Man, we got a ton of emails on this one.
Yes.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Remember when Governor Lamont was on the show last week and said, we're asking him to classify businesses and where he thinks they would be in the reopening phase. And I asked him about dental offices, and he said 3 or 4.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I really can't figure them out. You get two people close together, close proximity, only one's wearing a mask, the other one's mouth open, there's a thing spraying everywhere. It's like, he's probably 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like a day later, his people were like, no, the governor misspoke. Dental offices are opening May 20th. They're part of phase one.
What?
So we got a ton of emails from hygienists specifically worried about it. Some are, some aren't. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Paige LeBon is on. We've had her dad, Bob, from LeBon's Market the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's a hygienist. Are you in the worried category or the not-so-worried category?
Hi. I tend to be in the... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I know some people, some hygienists out there, and I've seen on Facebook posts and groups that I'm a part of, that they are a little worried. Personally, for me, I'm a little indifferent. I think I'm okay with starting, and I'm actually on my way to work now. Well, I'm on the side of the road, pulled over, of course, but we're headed into work this morning just to kind of go over training, new protocols. You know, a lot of the guidelines have changed. We have to be really very cautious with going back to work. We are going to start, you know, slow revamping, getting into the cleanings on May 20th because we really aren't ready right now. We need to get fit tested for our N95 masks. We need to, you know, we're going to be in gowns, caps, you know, our scrubs have been laundered there and we're leaving our shoes at work. We'll have level 3 masks as well as N95 and face shields, goggles. Good. So we're going to be covered head to toe, but we need to go over training and all these new protocols. So I feel with all these new implementations, I think I'm going to be well protected.
Okay.
So I'm not too worried.
too worried.
Too worried, yes.
So would that be worried? Yeah. So would that be worried, but not too worried?
Well, I just think I'm going to be safe enough because I'm going to be well protected. And one of my bosses, I work for two offices, one pediatric dental associate in Southbury, and Dr. Anne Marie D'Alessio Matta, she just became the president-elect of the CSCA. And so she's been on top of this. She's been communicating well with us through Facebook. We've been having Zoom meetings. So she's really making sure she's taking this seriously. So I know I'm in good hands because we've always kind of been ahead of the curve. Even before all this really, even before the quarantine started, she's just been communicating so well with us and making sure that we're all on the same page.
That's good.
So when you ask if I'm too worried, I'm really not because I know I'm in good hands and I know I'll be protected very well.
Well, you know what this sounds like?
Safe and my patients.
Paige, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like you have a level of concern, which is exactly what we want in a hygienist.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not like, it's fine.
Yeah,
you're going to be doing all the right things. You're going to be following protocol. You're going to be exactly what we want.
Yes.
Right. Not everyone's going to do that.
Right.
Right.
There's always ones out there.
And everybody has their own opinion, of course. I mean, and I respect that. But for me, I know I'm going to be well protected. I mean, of course, we're all going to be a little, how do we feel about this? But you have to start off slow. Or, you know, right when I go in, they're going to take my temperature. We're going to use hand sanitizer.
This is every day.
We're always going to be wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
And then now, do you switch gowns in between patients? Do you know any of that stuff yet?
I know we'll have disposable ones.
Okay.
And so those will be switched. You know, everything will be disinfected head to toe like crazy. And, of course, this is what we were doing before. This is OSHA guidelines, you know, infection control. We've always been doing this. But, you know, we're going to be having just one provider in one room. Like, you can't really go in and out, kind of like we were doing before, where air purification systems are –
now in our office. We're going to have a skeleton crew, limiting providers, you know, glass partitions. So it's like a definitely changing dentistry, but I think it's almost for the good. It's a good thing because we have to accept this.
Yep.
And we need more data. So if we start off slow by reducing aerosols and, you know, not using and just using hand scaling, I think, you know, this is kind of what we have to get used to. So we have to accept it.
And I don't mean any disrespect to the hygienists, but how important or essential are cleanings? I mean, I know they're important.
Yeah.
But it seems like, well, we can wait on this one. Right. Know, I know if you have a toothache.
Right. Extraction's needed.
Got to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of dental offices, none have really closed because, you know, there needs to be emergency care. So both of my offices have been open for emergencies. You know, cleanings are technically, they are essential, but yes, they can be held off.
Yeah.
I mean, we decided to close elective appointments to preserve the PPE for other healthcare workers that are treating COVID positive patients. You know, we want them well protected.
Absolutely.
And somebody actually posted the other day, and I loved what she wrote. I do think we are essential. I mean, oral health is overall health. If you don't have a healthy mouth, then you're not overall healthy. She said, I'm not just a teeth cleaner. I am a prevention specialist.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
We prevent caries, which are cavities. We prevent periodontal disease, which is gum loss, bone loss. You know, we really go over oral hygiene care, what you should be doing at home. There's so many things that we're kind of, you know, people underrate us. Like, I think it's so important to go every, you know, some people go 3 to 4 months if they need to come.
AJ, how often do you go for frequently?
Cleanings? Every 6 months.
When I think about it?
When you think about it?
Yeah. See, you know, I can teeth, but I do brush my teeth very, very well.
Good.
Yeah.
But you're not on a regular.
No, I'm not like, you know, you see me every 6 months. No,
so AJ's not like, on a regular.
You see me like every couple of years, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Yeah, so Paige, he's the one that you get in the seat and you look in and you say, so when's the last time you came for a cleaning?
So
cancel my next appointment.
I'd be like, always have that mustache.
You know what? If you go in next time, you might be sitting in the chair a little longer.
Right.
That's okay.
That's what happens.
Nice and comfortable.
And AJ's answer is, before you started taking records.
Right. You were a child.
But we are important. I mean, we are so important, but obviously we're postponing these things and, you know, we're decided to really follow the guidelines that Lamont recommended. And, you know, it's just try to flatten the curve as we've all been doing. I mean, I would hope if people are sick or if they're immunocompromised, they might want to hold off a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points that prevention, all of this, and you don't have to go.
No.
Right? No one's telling you you have to go for a cleaning. So if you don't feel comfortable, don't go.
Right, just brush
harder. What about hygienists who feel like they're at risk or they have family that are at risk or they feel like they're not working for an office that may handle all the protocols properly?
Well, my office is, I know, they've given us the option. They said to everybody, if you do not feel comfortable coming in, then by all means, like you don't have to come in.
Yeah.
But she did ask us, and so it'll be me and this other hygienist. There's usually about 6 of us there, so we do have a larger staff, but we're starting with the skeleton crew. And she asked if we felt comfortable, and I said yes, I do. I mean, luckily I'm not a high risk patient. You know, I'm 27. I keep myself healthy, but I understand this COVID-19 can affect anybody. But I think they've been very respectful and they know that people feel a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. We can't have everybody on the same page.
Right. You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, then I'll let you go, is if you're in a dentist's office and you have a regular hygienist, and then she goes on vacation and you get a fill-in, and you're like, I like this one better.
Right.
It's, what do you do? Like, it's like a hair, it's like a hair cutter, right? You feel like you're cheating, like you want to... Right? You guys, you girls are very territorial.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, some people, like at my general office in New Milford, Western Connecticut, I see mostly adult patients. So yeah, I get they come in regularly and I see them and I really get to know them. And it's nice when they come in. I'm like, I miss you. Like, you really form a bond with a lot of your patients. As with my pediatric office, because there are so many kids that come in, and there's so many of us, so many hygienists, we all like switch around wherever they can fit in the schedule. Most right. parents just want to get the kids in and out, but things are going to go slower now. I mean, we're taking our appointments into an hour. We're giving ourselves more time. But I think as far as when people get territorial, like that's my patient. Like some parents request people and some adults request hygienists, but I don't know. I kind of think that too, but I guess if you're comfortable with someone, you'd probably ask for them.
Right.
So that's fine. No feelings are hurt.
I feel,
well, so you think.
All right.
So folks get butt hurt. Yes.
Paige is so bright and cheery.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like Paige.
I'm not really a morning person, so.
Thank you for getting up and coming on.
Gotcha.
Paige LeBond.
No problem.
Dental hygienist. And she's going back and she feels pretty good about it.
All
so
right.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Maggie.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com.
Excuse me. What happened? That's a lot of fly.
Man arrested for going into Dunkin' Donuts without any pants.
Ooh. Gotta be kind of cold. Why do you keep your card?
It was just a jelly donut.
Exactly.
A Windsor, Vermont man faces charges after police say he went into a Dunkin' without his pants.
Says donuts, not show nuts. Sorry.
Here's a local TV report summing up the story.
A man will see a judge today after police say he went into a Dunkin' store without his pants. Police say Benjamin Stearman went into the Dunkin' Donut on Main Street in Ludlow without pants last month. Officers say he exposed himself to the empty store and the clerk. He's being charged with lewd and lascivious conduct and violating his probation conditions from a previous sex offense.
You can see his munchkins.
It was a Kreller.
Exactly. No, the Kreller's in the front. Little munchkins down below.
Got it.
Yep.
Isn't it weird how whenever someone's caught in public without any clothes on, it's like, yeah, not the first time they've done this.
Right, yeah.
I know.
It's never a newbie. I just wanted to try and see how it worked out for me.
That's a good point.
And what did they keep their card?
They're either on drugs or...
Right.
Oh, you know.
Right. Well, you know.
The reporter was the funny, though.
Yeah.
Well, seasoned vet.
I'm guessing they're so tired they forgot their pants.
They're... Reporter was like, he revealed himself to the empty store.
Empty store.
Empty store, yes.
He should have just said, oh, I'm not wearing pants. Sorry, I didn't have my coffee yet.
Right, no shirt, no shoes, no pants.
That's why I'm here. Exactly, help me. Right. Help
it
me,
says
help you.
No shirt, no shoes. Nothing about pants.
Exactly right. So he was kind of right.
I think that was a Jackass bit. Didn't they do that?
Did they really?
He went in completely bottomless.
Oh.
And they're pointing to the sign. They're like, hey, I have a shirt and shoes on. They're like, get out of here! Get out of here!
More proof people suck. Ice cream shop reopens immediately, closes. So ice cream shop opens, immediately closes due to unruly customers.
Oh,
yeah, buddy.
Ice cream.
It's in Massachusetts.
Right.
They got the... Open Friday under the new social distancing guidelines, but it had to close immediately after customers got angry about wait times.
Jeez, really? Come on, folks, ice cream.
And this is the owner saying it was so bad, one employee quit.
One of my best workers quit yesterday. The word she was called and the language, you wouldn't even say in a men's locker room. And to say it to a 17-year-old kid, they should be ashamed of themselves. Now I open the doors to a whole new world with gloves and masks and we running around like chickens. But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream? I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream. They have no clue how to respect other human beings.
It's ice cream, for Christ's sake.
What part of Massachusetts is that accent?
The English part. The British part.
Oh, my God. Plymouth Rock?
It's got ice cream, for Christ's sake. It's not a trauma center.
It's not a trauma center.
You want sprinkles on your ice cream?
I couldn't pin that accent down. It was moving around all over the place.
Exactly.
Started
yeah.
out Massachusetts, and then the more angry he got, it's like AJ when he gets angry, he gets Long Island.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
became Robin Leach. As he got more pissed, he became more British.
He became Robin Leach.
Classy.
Oh my God! I can't believe it. Look at you.
It's not a trauma center.
It's ice cream.
It's ice cream.
For God's sake! I'm going to crush your
like
nuts.
Him.
I'm going to crush your
British
nuts.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
It started to sound like a Monty Python bit at the end there.
It's ice cream.
It's ice cream.
Ice cream, you scream.
You are screaming.
Horrible accent.
Yes.
It's the best I could do. It's all I got. It's literally all I got.
It's the bangs.
Wow. You know, ice cream's supposed to be such a pleasurable experience.
It's a happy time.
If you've ever gone to a popular ice cream place in June, you're waiting.
Yeah, you know you wait. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's May.
But
I want to be happy now.
You anticipate how good it's going to get. When you finally get your ice cream, you're waiting. The waiting is part of it. It's worth it. You're like, oh, I want to get my ice cream. It's going to be great. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And you see what other people are like walking past you. I'm going to have that.
That looks good.
Yeah, exactly. What is that? Exactly. Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Exactly. And you go, they go, vanilla cone.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, what do you got? You're 6 feet apart in line?
Yeah. I've been watching this.
Two ice cream places by me. Every customer?
Exactly. Every night at the place by me.
What did you think was going to happen?
Exactly, right. You got to wait.
It's not a trauma center.
No, trauma center. It's ice cream.
It's ice cream.
For Christ's sake. Crikey.
We got to send this to Ashley. You got to get this place on.
Okay.
The name of the place is not in the story.
Oh. If you click on go to the show prep and click on it, they have the whole news story. So they're probably in there.
I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream.
It's ice cream. God's sake, shut your festering gob, you boob.
It melts.
It's the stuff it used to be milk at one time.
It's frozen milk.
Exactly. If you leave bossy in the middle of the field in the winter, you have ice cream.
Cows make it. Moo.
Exactly.
Moo.
They eat the grass. They make the milk. The milk becomes ice cream. You stupid boob.
It's not gold.
It's ice cream.
It's not lottery tickets.
Right, we're not saving lives here.
It's ice cream.
Yes.
You don't need to have it.
It's Sunday.
You put it in a cone.
Right, exactly.
Or a cup.
Exactly.
You can have a banana split.
You can.
Sunday.
You can have.
It's ice cream.
You can have caramel sauce. It's ice cream.
It's not a vaccine for coronavirus.
We've even got pistachio. I can't spell it, but it's pistachio.
Has this guy never seen, like, Black Friday crowds killing each other over a flat screen?
Oh, apparently not.
It's ice cream.
It's not a flat screen on Black Friday.
Right.
It's ice cream.
It's probably closed on Black Friday. That's why. Yeah, seasonal.
Well, we got to get this guy on the phone.
Yep.
Oh, my ears.
What?
Huh?
What?
Hey.
Hey.
Where? Huh? Can't hear you, bye.
You're ringing.
You say?
Answer the phone.
What?
Get the phone.
Is that a phone?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Well, the restaurants are going to open up the outside dining on May 20th.
Yes.
And our good buddy Dave from Riverview Bistro is on. So what do you think of the guidelines?
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me back on again. We'll start with, we're finally starting to open something. We got a direction to begin and a platform to start from, I guess, is where we really start with.
Yeah.
You look at all the different parameters that you have to follow, and a lot of places are going to be stuck with the thought process of, is it still cost effective to do it? Because with the 6 feet apart and 50% and all that different things that come into play, you have so many less seats than you normally would.
Right. In those guidelines, I'm curious, is there a time limit as to how long a person can have a table?
Huh.
Like, they can't hang out there all goddamn day because you need that table because you got less people there.
So
come back and wrap it around, eat your stuff and get out of here.
It's not a trauma center.
Exactly, right. Like,
it's not ice cream.
It's meatballs.
Right, from like start
it's
to finish.
It's meatballs. You know,
get moving.
From ordering to like getting the hell out of there, 45 minutes.
Yeah, AJ would not be a good restaurant owner.
Yeah, chow and get out.
You got to go. Here's your stuff.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. We're the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do reservation only so that we don't end up like the ice cream shop because we don't want to have that situation happen.
Right. Yeah.
That way it's not a group of people showing up and lining up and saying, why can't I get to my table? He's too close to me. So we actually, for example, like our side patio typically seats 26 people. We're going to have zero seats on there. That way that's our entrance. So we'll use that as a platform to get people in. That way, if there is a slight wait, there's plenty of distance between everybody. So people.
Wait, but you can't have people inside.
No, they're outside. They're entering from the side patio deck.
The side patio.
Yes, okay, we have a side patio entrance, so they're going to go right onto the side patio. Right. They'll never have to go into the building.
Gotcha. Hmm. All right, okay, so they're going to go in that way and walk the way along the building to the back.
Correct. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I had to picture my head for a second. I forgot. There's a side to the back.
I'm still not picturing it. But all right.
Yeah.
So,
no, me either.
But how many people can you fit on your patio?
The patio before the 6 foot distancing was 128.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And now?
So now it's probably going to be less than half based on the 6 foot staggering of the tables to fit them on there. So you're probably going to be looking at, you know, maybe 60 seats on the back deck. Like I said, the side patio alone we're eliminating altogether. So there's 26 seats right off the get-go. They're gone.
Yeah. But you got that beautiful view of the water, so a lot of folks want to go to your place to eat outside.
That's the thing.
Yeah. We already have people calling for reservations, and we told people that we're going to wait until this week because he did make that one little comment at the end when he was questioned where he said, well, if we have to, we'll push it back. So I don't want to get too involved. When, you know, wait till we get a little closer, and then we'll see what happens.
Here's an idea.
But you can't how do you... push it back? Right. How do you order food? How do you plan?
Exactly, right.
How do you put people on a schedule?
Right. That's the challenge of it all.
Here's
an
idea.
That's the challenge.
AJ has an idea. Watch out, everybody.
You got that little area where you have grass and everything, right? So you introduce the bistro picnic lunch where you have a blanket.
It's a great idea.
A blanket and a picnic
there
lunch.
You put a tent down there.
A tent or
more tables.
Or just like I said, just a picnic thing, kind of like a throwback.
People are going to sit on the grass.
You're watching the water, how picnics work. You know?
Do you need permission to that?
For the more adventurous stuff.
That grass is yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's his.
Correct.
Yeah,
it is.
We had a little function out there once.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we did the lobster bake out there, actually.
Exactly, right.
That's correct.
So you can have a picnic outside.
Look at this. AJ had an idea, and it's good.
You can add like 10 more people.
You do have good ideas when you apply yourself.
Yeah, I just don't enact it myself. My idea was somebody else to do.
Yeah, well, it's easy to be a consultant. The hard thing is, you know, doing it.
Exactly right.
Consultants get paid good money. That's another platform for you. There you go.
Well, there you go. See?
All right, so you've read through everything, the menus and the cleaning and all of this, masks, and you guys will think. So we were just playing the clip of this ice cream guy who his place was fine. He did everything right. His employees did everything right. Then the people showed up and screwed everything up.
Are you
worried about that?
So that's the first step of reservation only, and I'm sure that we're going to have our challenges with that. It really depends on, from what I've seen from takeout and everything that we've been doing, there's two different types. You have the people that are very concerned and very nervous and very scared, and you have the people that aren't. So it's the cross between the two, but they have to be responsible as well, because according to the guidelines, the guest has to wear a mask to come in.
Right.
And anytime they get up from the table, when they're sitting at the table together, they're allowed to take their masks off. But if they don't have a mask to walk up, they're not going to be allowed in. You know, and we have
can
to
you serve
special...
alcohol?
Yep, we can serve alcohol.
There you go.
That's when it's going to get weird.
They're going to need it.
Dave, later as the night goes
alcohol.
On.
Yeah.
But AJ made a good point. I just want to circle back to this, and this is something you deal with on a normal day. You know, you reserve a table for 7, right? And then whatever. Then you guys take another reservation for it at another time. Now, what if that table way overstays its
runs long
time? Yeah. How do you handle something like that?
So we've been looking at time slots for people because of that exact instance.
Oh, that's great.
Basically, you just in the business you learn how to move tables along. So you just move them from course to course, and then it gets to a certain point where you just drop the check.
Or you schedule. You know, you say you have table 4
some people like
from
chit-chat.
Like 1 o'clock till 2:30, like tops. You know, that's from you entering at 1:30 and 2:30 you're out.
Yeah. We usually do an hour and a half to 2 hours is typically how long a long table sits, and then you have the people that walk in, eat, get up, and leave, and are in and out in 30-40 minutes.
I'm not a 2 hour person.
Yeah, I'm the 30 minute person.
It depends on the day, really.
Jennifer's not a 30-minute person, but I can be a 30-minute person.
Well, for me, cheeseburger and fries is quick.
Yeah.
You know, go see the clown on the way out.
There are times she has a glass of wine, there's still like 3 inches in it. I'm like, oh, this is another 20 minutes.
Strike the damn
wine! Oh, I drink so slow, too.
She wants to just chit-chat. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's you want to get out?
I'm like a five-year-old. I have a limited time where I could sit, and then I got to get up, and I got to go.
Here's what you do. You reach over, like, and you like touch her hand. You knock the wine out, it spills on her. Now you got to go.
Yeah, I feel like that would be worse.
All right, give it a shot.
Can I have another one?
Just try.
No,
we got to go.
All right, that's good, but it's a good sign that people are making reservations now, or at least want to, because that was the question. Will people go out? And we had a story out of Colorado where, boy, did they ever go out. The ice cream place is back. I think you'd be fine. Right?
Yeah.
Once I mean, fine is all relative.
Yeah.
But I think it'll work.
Right.
Now we need masks that have zippers on them so you can open your mouth. Zipper, take a bite.
Smart.
Zipper closed.
Yeah.
Right.
Take a bite. Close.
Yeah.
All these ideas
I'll tell you, the biggest challenge of the rules that they've given us is dispensers of the sanitizing at the entrance. We've been looking to buy dispensers for, like, Purell and stuff for months before it even got to the point of the closures, and no one has them. So it's like you have to get creative with how you're going to have sanitizer. Oh. You leave it on the tables, the people take them. So
because they want to hoard them.
Right. Well, you know, on the cruise
they're going to take your toilet paper, too.
On the cruise ships, you have the people who stand there. Go washy-washy, and they have
the
stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to pay someone to do that.
So we have like a gallon containers that we're going to be setting up so that I'm contemplating like siliconing to a table so that way they can't get taken away.
Right.
Smart. You should.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, you fill a super soaker with the sanitizer, just blast the folks that walk in.
Yeah. Not all of his ideas are good.
All right, occasionally one goes off the track.
All right, well, it sounds like you have the right mindset. I mean, what else are we going to do, right? This is where we are.
Yep, so. It's our reality. Yeah,
right. This is our starting point. We just hope that everything goes positive and we can increase from here. Because, I mean, this is phase one and then phase two, phase three, and then the new normal, I guess, is what they're calling it.
Yeah.
Abnormal. We'll see where we get to for that.
And if you're going out into any business, just realize it's different now. So it's not about getting in and out. It's about doing it safely. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully, we don't have any pushback and we're good to go on the 20th. So,
yeah. Grandma's meatballs are coming back.
Yay.
It's Riverview, meatballs.
Riverview Bistro in Stratford. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Dave.
Thank you all. Have a good day. Bye bye.